Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Mosaics. Today we are at the Ferry Beach Retreat and Conference Center, where the Mahayana portion of the Profound Treasury of the Ocean of Dharma retreat is being conducted. It is June of 2014. And we have with us today Ms. Jane Collini. Jane is currently the retreat director for the Garrison Institute in upstate New York, and she is also one of the coordinators of the Westchester Buddhist Center, which is a group that has been gathered together as one of the various communities around the United States, Canada, and Europe that have come together to study the teachings of Trungpa Rinpoche. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you.
Can you tell us just very briefly a little bit about your practice history?
Yes, I lived in Boulder when Trungpa Rinpoche arrived, and he was my teacher at the University of Colorado. And I became a student and went to early seminaries, several, and did the path, the long path of Vajragini Chakrasamvara, six yogas, all the rest. And now I've gone back to the Hinayana, and I do shamatha practice.
And you were also a student of the Shambhala teachings.
Yes, and taught Shambhala training as well.
Okay,
yeah.
So basically you were doing the whole kit and caboodle as presented by Trungpa Rinpoche.
That's right.
And can you talk a little bit about the prehistory of the Westchester Buddhist Center when it was part of the New York Shambhala Center?
So I live in Sleepy Hollow, New York, with Derek Collini, my husband. And for many years, I was involved in the New York Shambhala Center, both administratively as well as teaching. Judy Leaf in the 1990s founded the weekly Dharma Gathering, which turned out to be a very successful magnet for new students. And when she and Chuck moved to Vermont, I took over the organization of that weekly gathering. And a number of teachers were involved, senior teachers, excellent teachers, and we would get 150, sometimes 200 people coming on a Tuesday evening. It was very successful. And I did that for about 9 years, and then I resigned, and several years later, we started the Westchester Buddhist Center.
Let me go back to, what did you call it, what you did in New York?
Dharma Gathering.
The Dharma Gatherings.
Mm-hmm. It was modeled after Reggie Ray's village, I believe. It was a weekly gathering, sort of a community-oriented gathering, talking about the Dharma. And Judy had come up with the idea based on her experience of his success and created it in New York.
So it was an open... It was an open house. However, it wasn't directed only towards newcomers. It was more of a sense of bringing the community together and addressing Dharma topics?
Yeah, mostly, though, it was new people that came, and there was a community component. There was meditation, talk, discussion, and then food and open-ended conversation. It was very community-oriented, and people love it. It's still going on, very successful.
Okay, so then you actually decide to put together, along with Derek Collini and John Baker,
And Natalie Baker
decide that it's important to take a more formal step to put together a practice center in Westchester. And there's also something to do with Richard Gere, too.
Yeah, so what happened was we had all moved to Westchester County. And actually, John and Derek had this interest in starting a center in Westchester. And John, at that time, was living with Natalie in Bedford, New York, where Richard Gere lives, and he owned the Bedford Post Inn, and there's a yoga studio there, and John had dropped by and made friends with the manager, and suggested a Dharma gathering situation, and gave her his resume, and she passed it on to Richard Gere, and he was very impressed. He had himself read a number of books of Trungpa Rinpoche and was inspired to the Dharma originally by Trungpa Rinpoche, and he invited us to start doing Dharma gatherings at Bedford Post.
And it's still there?
No, the Bedford Post is still there. Richard Gere owns the inn but sold the restaurant. We no longer meet there. John and Natalie left Bedford, and because we don't live near Bedford, we decided to consolidate our gatherings into Irvington, New York, which is another town on the Hudson River, where Eileen Fisher, the clothing designer, has her headquarters building. She had invited us to, as our patron, to use her location for our gatherings. And that had evolved because of Cheryl Campbell, who works for Eileen Fisher and heads up her foundation. Cheryl had brought one of Eileen's children to one of our Dharma gatherings in Bedford, and she was very taken by it, and they invited us to start doing Dharma gatherings at the Irvington Eileen Fisher headquarters, and that's where we meet now. And
have fashionable.
Yes.
Truly
we've been meeting there
centers.
Since 2009. Yeah.
So what if I walked into the room right now there, what does it look like when you actually have gatherings? Do we have shrines? Do we not have shrines? I imagine we have cushions.
Yeah.
What are people walking into, and what are the traditions that people are presented
yeah.
with?
Well, it's a beautiful space. It's a former greenhouse factory brick building on the Hudson River that's been renovated beautifully in a modern way by former Shambhala member Earl Ferguson. I don't know if you know him. He's an architect. And there's a beautiful gathering space on the main floor overlooking the Hudson River, modern and very spare, with sort of older elements of the building exposed, very elegant. Eileen, the foundation, purchased meditation cushions for us, black. And we have gondens and cushions, and we do not have a shrine. We bring out a shrine when we have a Buddhist teacher come to visit, a Tibetan Buddhist teacher, for example, but generally we don't have a shrine. We have a bell, and we have cushions, and we gather on Sunday mornings, every Sunday. We alternate formats. We have Learn to Meditate format, which goes from 10 to 12 and includes meditation for the older students, 2 hours of meditation, and for new people, we give instruction, detailed instruction. And the Learn to Meditate gatherings lately are about 50 people coming regularly, maybe 25% brand new people that just show up, word of mouth. We don't do any advertising. And then alternate Sundays, we have Dharma Gathering, modeled after the New York Shambhala Center Dharma Gathering that Judy had started, where we have meditation for half an hour. We also provide instruction to people. Then there's a talk by a teacher, a discussion, and a reception with delicious goodies that are donated by the local organic bakery. And we typically get anywhere from 60 to 70 people coming. And again, very popular, word of mouth, maybe 25% new people. And so there's a lot of coming and going of new people and regulars. Also, after the Dharma gathering, which goes from 10 to 12, is a class that meets and studies the Profound Treasury. They are our so-called older students, the students that have been coming regularly for a number of years. And there's about 25 to 30 of them, and they study the Profound Treasury. They're on the Mahayana right now. And those students are getting serious about a variety of interests in Buddhism. We have a week term that we want run once a year in the summer, but we're thinking about moving that to the winter so that it could accommodate more people studying at the Profound Treasury in this retreat. And those are our primary activities. Right now we have a DVD series on Wednesday evenings of Pema Chodron. We get about 60 people for that, and it's very popular. Pema's very popular. And we have a discussion afterward and talk. And we're completely provided for by Eileen Fisher. The foundation pays for the cushions, the security in the building, the gong, the goodies, you know, everything is provided. It's extremely generous, and we're very, very grateful to Eileen, who comes, as well as Cheryl Campbell, Berkeley McKeever, and a number of other people that work there. So that's how we're hosted. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When you introduce yourself to new people, and as you keep working with the people who are make a greater commitment, who is your lineage? What set of teachings do you say to people? If you come here on a regular basis, you will be introduced to X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Well, we're all students of Trungpa Rinpoche. We have a website. It's all up there, bios of the teachers. So it's myself, Derek, John Baker, Natalie is no longer involved, and Robert Chender used to live in Westchester, moved into the city, but he comes up and teaches. We've been trying to get John Ankeley, who is a New York Shambhala Center member, involved, and he's going to start hopefully teaching a little bit. He's a wonderful teacher. And then we have guest teachers. We've invited and hosted Mingyi Rinpoche, Khandra Rinpoche. We have Sogni Rinpoche coming in October. We've had Norman Fisher, a great Zen teacher. We've had Pakchuk Rinpoche about 3 or 4 times. We had Ringu Tulku 2 years ago, and I think he's coming back this fall. I heard he's coming to New York again. So we've had a number of Tibetan teachers and non-Tibetan teachers, and so we try to provide a diversity of experience for the students. But the regular teachers are the ones that I told you, myself, Derek, John, Robert Chender, and hopefully John Ankeley will get involved.
I imagine that one of the things that the publication of the Profound Treasury Ashno Dharma 3-volume set would have provided a group like you is a nearly add water presto type of curriculum, which in the past you would have had to make up in bits and pieces and also get permissions because the books were not in public domain, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the books were just like a treasure trove for us because we really needed a way to deal with the students that were becoming older students and some kind of curriculum. We had nothing to do with them other than an open house where we would talk about Dharma according to Trungpa Rinpoche, but not based on any kind of sort of specific study. So that was fantastic. When the books came out, we immediately incorporated that into our more advanced teachings. And if we had the resources, we'd be starting another series, but we don't have the resources. We're very strapped. We're a volunteer organization, and we don't have enough teachers, and we don't have enough helpers, and so we're doing as best we can, and it's been fantastic. There's a tremendous interest and appreciation for the teachings of Trungpa Rinpoche and on all of the guest teachers that we've had. People are very inspired. Some students are beginning to drift to other teachers. Khandra Rinpoche, a few people are going with her. Pakchuk Rinpoche, some people are going to his Mahamudra program this coming August. And that's good. That's fine. We don't have any... we feel that we're sort of an aperture for people's interests wherever it may lead them.
Yeah, because that naturally leads to the fact that after you have studied and have your basic practice, and perhaps I imagine you do give refuge and bodhisattva vows when different teachers come in, at some point in a Vajrayana path,
yeah,
such as that inspired by Trungpa Rinpoche, mm-hmm, the sort of $64,000 joke,
yeah,
question,
yeah,
is what now?
Yeah. We've had vows given by Judy Leaf to the students, and also Sanjay Khandro and Chonam, who are a couple that are students of Kempo Namdrol, have given vows at our center. But as you say, we have not yet solved the issue of students moving into the Vajrayana and how we're going to handle that. But we're talking about it, and we're not sure how it's going to be managed, frankly. And it's an issue for more than a handful of the students.
In terms of the relationship to Shambhala training,
mm-hmm,
as it existed in the past few years and it currently exists, is there a flow of students from that do Shambhala training and come to you, or students,
yeah,
that from you go to Shambhala training? Or
yeah, we've asked to run Shambhala trainings, and we're not allowed because we're not a Shambhala center. However, a number of students go to the city, to the center, and do Shambhala training. Sometimes John Baker and I have taught some of the levels. We're not doing that as much lately. We're focusing more on the Buddhist teachings since we have the Profound Treasury, and that just sort of ended up being the proper evolution. But we're not. We do teach Shambhala teachings. It's just that we don't really have the resources to provide a full training. People are interested in studying Shambhala training, they go into the city and do it at the Shambhala Center. There's some definite connectivity and collaboration between the Shambhala Center. For example, when people do our Wiktun, they allow them to use that for credit towards some of the credits needed for Datun and seminary, I believe. And sometimes people are referred to us because they live in Westchester by the New York Shambhala Center. So there's a very friendly dialogue.
And your husband teaches a Shedra class.
Yes, and he teaches a Shedra class at the New York Shambhala Center. Yeah.
So, Jane, to end, what is your deepest, most profound, deep-down heart desire of how you want to see the Westchester Buddhist Center?
What
it's your baby. What do you want
to
do?
Well, it's really hard work. I have a full-time job, as we all do. And so this has also become another full-time job, but it's a tremendously gratifying thing to be able to teach the Dharma and spread the Dharma to very lovely, worthy students. So it's very fulfilling, but it's a lot of work. My desire, I think, is just to serve as a portal for the Dharma, according to Trungpa Rinpoche. I don't really have any aspirations about creating a full three-yana path for students. That might be something that Derek or John might be more interested in. My interest is really the new students and giving them genuine Dharma, and they love it. There's such a tremendous appreciation, and that to me is as good as it gets.
Well, as good as it gets sure sounds like it. And thanks to you and to everybody in the your teaching staff, and to Eileen Fisher, and to everybody that works there, and the organic group that actually provides your cookies and the beautiful architectural space. And
you guys have to come visit.
We will. And you guys have to go on the road, and hopefully many other places will learn from your experience.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You are listening to Mosaics on Chronicles Radio, a production of the Chronicles of Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche. Support for this programming comes from our listening audience. To contribute, visit chroniclesradio.com and click on Support This Work. Thank you for your support, and thank you for listening to Chronicles Radio. Thank you.